Okay.
ACB Radio Mainstream coming to you from the exhibition hall of Site Village. I think we're in Hall A, actually, of Site Village 2004. And it's fairly late on the Thursday now. People starting to clear away around us. And we've managed to catch up with Roger Wilson-Hines from Choice Technology, who probably not exceptionally well known in the US. I think it's probably fair to say, Roger.
Very fair to say.
Yeah, but let's hope after this interview you will be better now.
Thank you.
Now, you guys have a range of screen access solutions which really are quite innovative in the sense that you have really thrown away this whole concept that access technology has to be ridiculously expensive.
That's absolutely right. I'm a user, I'm a blind person, and I've been helping people who either got money or are getting subsidies over the years, and I'm very conscious that 70 or 80% of the blind population doesn't have a subsidy or doesn't have a lot of money, so we're catering as a business very much for the market of the lower income end.
So let's talk about your products. I understand that you have a magnification product and also a screen reader and then a combined screen reader magnifier. Is that
absolutely
is
right? Okay. Yes, we've got a magnifier called Magnus, okay, and it magnifies up to 16 times. Whatever you do in Windows, you can see it large on the screen if you're partially sighted.
Right.
We have a speech.
Now, how many times?
Because that's up to 16. 1/6. Up to 1/6 times, which is plenty.
I mean, it means absolutely nothing to me, but I'm sure that the
very
vision users will be.
It's ridiculously big. If you need 16 times, you should be using speech.
Yes.
It's very big. And, yeah.
Okay. And so you have a screen reader as well?
We have a screen reader called Lookout.
Okay.
That's it's a bit like Jaws or Dolphin Hell. It talks whatever you do on Windows.
Yeah.
And it's pretty good. It'll get you well into Microsoft Word, very well into the internet and emailing. And most other things. And it's reliable, good, easy to use. Very easy to use.
Right, okay. Now these, the screen reader and the screen magnifier, and then you have a combined product?
And the combined one is called Dual, D-U-A-L, mm-hmm, and that combines Lookout and Magnus together, so you can listen with speech and suddenly magnify when you want to, or vice versa, or you can run simultaneously speech and magnification.
Fantastic, okay. Now, I know the screen reader component will probably be of most interest to our listeners, so let's talk a bit about that. Which flavours of Windows does the screen reader work with?
It works best with Microsoft Word in any edition. It works equally well with Outlook Express, and we have some software which works well with Microsoft Outlook. That's called Organizer, and it presents Microsoft Outlook in a very accessible format. For those that know, it makes it sound and behave and look like a file manager.
So that's the applications. Which versions of Windows do you need to have? Windows XP or?
Well, there's a version for 98 and ME.
Yes.
There's a version for another version for XP 2000 and NT4.
Okay.
So we cover everything but 95.
Now, so you said there are two versions really, depending on which flavour of Windows you have.
Yeah.
Is there a discrepancy in terms of the amount that somebody would pay for either of those?
No, it's the same price for whichever one you go for.
You just need to make sure that you get the right edition.
But you do have to tell us what you want. You have to tell us what your operating system is.
Okay. So I usually leave the asking prices and things to the end, but I think that it's such an important part of what you do. Let's talk about the prices. I don't know if you'd have those to hand.
Yes, I do. I know them off by heart.
There we go. Excellent.
Okay, I'll tell you UK prices, and then I'll tell you...
And I'll roughly convert to dollars. Obviously, the situation is changing all the time.
It might be more expensive in America.
Right.
It's quite possible, because the company that's helping us market in America are starting up, and they'll need to cover their costs.
Their costs, right. Okay.
So the UK price is £80 for Lookout or Magnus, and £120 for the combined Dual. And the American price might be something like $160 for Magnus or Lookout, and it might be $250 for Dual.
Now, can people try before they buy?
We don't do demo discs. Definitely not. What we do, we sell to people, so we only get serious punters. If they don't like it within 30 days, we will unhesitatingly refund. That's our policy.
So you can have it for 30 days, absolutely free, and if you don't like it, no questions asked.
We can give you your money back.
You
must show serious intent by buying. At that price, you can't do demos, you can't do all the frills, you can't do glossy brochures and home demonstrations and so on. So that's the only way we can do it.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit in more detail about the screen reader, and I have to say that is a real breakthrough. But of course, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, and let's talk about the screen reader. So it's been designed to work well with Word, Outlook Express, and Microsoft Internet Explorer. So would that be Internet Explorer 6?
Internet Explorer 6, any of them really, but 6 is best for our purpose.
Many screen reader manufacturers, they've adopted an approach where the web page is loaded into a virtual buffer in JAWS. It's called something like the virtual cursor in WindowEyes, and I think they call it MSAA mode. And in HAL, of course, they have their virtual focus. So how do you guys unravel all this complicated stuff that gets thrown at us when we open a web page?
Here we go. I'll try to do my best. We have a program which is part of our screen reader suite of programs. It's called Webby, W-E-B-B-I-E for Internet Explorer. So you want to go on the internet, you load Webby, so start menu, programs, W for Webby until you get there and go in. And then without doing anything else, you type in the website you want, or you use your favourites and go to the website you want, it pops up and it's ready to listen to. And you arrow down and you listen to your website line by line. It's converted into line by line text. If a line starts with a link and you want to explore it, you press enter and it takes you to the link. If you want to go to content, if you go for a link and it says about us, you press enter on the link about us and it goes onto the link, then you hold the control key and press the down arrow and it will take you straight to the content you've been looking for.
That'll take you to the unlinked text.
Absolutely. Straight to the text, and you're not listening to the links round and round again. You don't get driven up the wall by the constant repetition of the links.
So how does Webby interface with Internet Explorer? Does it overlay Internet Explorer?
No, it works alongside it. You can have both open.
So it is actually a separate application.
It's a separate application.
Right.
So you can have both open, and you can easily switch between the two if you have a bit of sight and you want to see the pictures or whatever.
So you would recommend, really, for people using Lookout, which is your screen reader, that they work with Webby.
They must.
The Lookout isn't going to play well with Internet Explorer itself.
No, we went down the JAWS line, if you like, of trying to constantly modify it to catch up with the internet, and we decided to abandon that as a waste of time. It's just playing catch up, and you never get there. So we've provided Webby as an interface. It's how we like the web to be. Line by line, it allows people with a bit of sight to choose their font size and their colour. It allows a blind person to have tiny fonts and lots of words on the screen and just listen. And that's the way we think that we should go forward on the web.
Now, so what's on the screen at that point? When somebody's navigating using Webby, if a sighted person was to be assisting them, they're not going to see the web page as it's rendered in the way in which it would be rendered in Internet Explorer, for example. They would see it line by line as well on the screen visually as well.
But they could press a key. It happens to be Control W. They can press a key and switch between the two very quickly and easily. So if they're training and they want the reassurance of seeing it visually, they can quickly flip between the two.
Let's talk about other aspects of exploring the web. How would somebody using Lookout complete a form or interact with a control on a web page, such as a radio button or a checkbox or a combo box?
These things are called web elements, whether it's a radio box or a tick box or a search.
Yes.
Yeah? So what happens, you arrow down, you hear the word search. You arrow down again, you hear text input.
Right.
You press enter, you type in what you're looking for, press enter again, arrow down, and then you hear submit, and you press enter, and off goes the search.
Okay.
And if it's a radio button select, you'd arrow down, you'd hear choose your language.
Uh-huh.
You arrow down, and you hear select, you press enter, and up pops a little pop-up window, and it'll say English, French, German, whatever, and you enter on the one you want.
Okay.
It's very easy. There's no forms mode.
Mm-hmm.
There's no virtual focus mode. You're always there on the site, and you hear what you've typed in. When you get back to select, it will say select English or whatever you've chosen.
Now, obviously, web pages, the design of web pages is increasingly complex, and pages using elements such as tables and frames. How does Lookout manage those sorts of elements?
Right, one by one. It manages frames straightforwardly. Depending on the web design, it gives frame an order, which is determined by the designer. And you actually don't know you're in a frame or not. You just go on and on down the links.
Right.
And if there's a frame,
so
it'll say frame
sort of,
one.
The frames are kind of, okay.
They're an element as a link. So you go into frame one, and frame one might only contain an image, which may or may not be described.
Right.
Or frame two might contain the links you're actually looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need to be concerned by it. You just explore until you find what you want.
Okay. And tables?
And tables, we cope with tables. We just have one option. If the tables are well defined in HTML, it will read them. Our option allows you to put a table item, a cell if you like, on each line,
mm-hmm.
or not. So you can arrange your tables by line, or you can look at the table contents individually.
Well, so, I think that's quite a lot of the internet stuff. How do you deal with things? And I know this is a challenge right across the screen reader industry. How does Lookout deal with web elements, such as Java applets and Flash and these more complex, more visual things that really even the more established screen readers have only just really started to get their teeth into?
So far, you've heard a lot of positives. Now we get to the negative. We struggle with Flash. We struggle with Java. Just like every other screen reader.
Right.
It depends when it was written and how it was written.
Okay.
We have a lot of difficulty with that.
And that's understandable. Yeah. Okay, let's move now from the web onto the Office suite. Let's talk about Word. You mentioned Microsoft Word earlier on. Obviously, text input and navigating around a document, I would imagine that's
fairly straightforward.
Fairly straightforward, and using standard Windows controls, and there's no third-party application required there. You're using vanilla Word. Now, how do you deal with things like font? How can a user get font information, formatting information from the page, and how does that work?
If you're proofreading a document, or if you're uncertain of your font situation,
mm-hmm.
pressing Alt number 5 will tell you that it's Arial 16 bold.
Right.
That kind of information.
That's if it is Arial 16 bold.
If it is. Of course, yes. It will tell you the attributes of the font.
Right, excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Okay, and then to use features like tables in Word, again, tables, something that have increased more and more often than those of us that produce invoices and have to do statistical things. People, they want stuff in tables. And so does Lookout give you the user access to tables in Word?
Yes, straightforwardly. Alt 3 will tell you your row and column and then what the contents are.
Right.
And Alt 9 will tell you what the contents is and then the row and column. So you can have whichever you want first and press the control key when you want to shut the thing up.
And when you're navigating around a document, in the past, many screen readers, not all screen readers, it has to be said, but many screen readers, you haven't really had any indication of whereabouts when you're in a table, when you're out the table, where you are. Do you get sort of any kind of automatic feedback from Lookout
You get two feedbacks. You get a musical feedback. You get a musical tone, which I won't do on the microphone. As you go across, that you'll be pleased to know.
Oh, you can if you like.
As you go across the screen, you hear.
We're not serious all the time.
Okay.
There we go.
And you also get, as you tab around through the table, you also get the information by default. It will tell you what row and column you're in.
Right.
But you can press F9 if you want it the other way around. Hear the contents first.
Wonderful.
I'd like to say as well that you were the second screen reader to support tables in Word after JAWS.
We were.
So that's really quite incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, people really need that position.
We've always been very keen on tables.
And do you have keystrokes for doing things like to read the current cell, read the current row, read the current column?
Yes.
Things like that?
We don't read, as I say, we read row and column first and the contents, or vice versa.
Right. But you couldn't, if you were sat somewhere in the middle of a table and you wanted to read the current column, for example, or you wanted to read the current row, say you were trying to add up some figures or something, you don't have hotkeys for that at the moment.
We don't have hotkeys for that.
We don't
currently read labels. You can get to labels quite easily.
Okay.
And you can set a marker for your labels row, but we don't currently read them by default.
Do you support forms in Microsoft Word?
I don't think we do. Not as well as JAWS does, is the straightforward answer.
Okay. But obviously, JAWS, you're paying five times as much. So.
I'm saying you can do it. It's the scenic way, but we don't support it like JAWS does.
Right. Okay. How about proofreading and spell checking and that kind of thing? We've seen one or two of the screen readers now starting to make some progress in that area. We understand that visually, when there's a spelling error, there's a red wavy line underneath the word, and when there's a grammar error, apparently a green wavy line appears underneath the word. Is it possible to...
We don't read those.
Right.
But we read spell checker in a very intuitive way.
Right.
Which I'll describe to those who use a screen reader.
Yeah, by all means. Yeah.
So, supposing you F7 and go into spell checker.
Yes.
Okay, up comes the dialogue box. As we'll say, not in dictionary, talks, suggestion, talks.
Uh-huh.
And obviously there's a spelling there. So, if you could do Control L, we'll read the line containing the error. And Shift Control, semicolon next to the L, will actually spell the line.
Uh-huh.
So you can hear the error word spelt as many times as you like. It doesn't disturb the solidarity of the dialog box or anything.
Excellent, excellent.
It's very straightforward. We use Control L to read a line and Control semicolon to read the speech, to repeat speech.
Yeah.
Okay. Shift Control to spell. Yeah.
Let's move on to email then. You mentioned Outlook Express. Do you have support for the full-blown Office version of Outlook as well, or is it just Outlook Express?
We do. We have a small program called Organizer, which makes sense of Outlook. Most people who are working at home and buying our product use Outlook Express.
Okay.
But for those who want to use Outlook or share documents in an office and so on, we have something called Organizer. And just as our webby makes sense of the web, so Organizer makes sense of Outlook, reading the calendar and appointments and that kind of thing. It presents them as a kind of file manager. So if you imagine you've got the date on the left, and then next level in you might have the time, and next level in you'll have the appointments you've made.
Okay.
So you tab in and out of this to get to where you want to.
In Outlook Express then, clearly that's where the emphasis is. You guys aiming kind of at the home market really.
Yeah.
And people on a budget, and Outlook Express obviously is free. When navigating down through the list of messages, can you guys determine things like if the message has been replied to, or whether the message is read or unread?
We can't do that. We can't identify, currently we can't identify which are read.
Right.
We can identify which have an attachment.
Right.
We can't identify which we've already
read. I mean, that's important, isn't it? Knowing that there's an attachment, because clearly a lot of nasty internet viruses and worms and things disseminated using email attachments, so that's very important. Okay, we've spent quite a lot of time talking about Lookout, and to remind people again, that price for Lookout is £80 UK. Probably going to be a little bit more than the conversion in the US because of added support costs and startup costs. People can't buy directly from you. They've got to buy through their US dealer, presumably.
They can, if they wish to, they can ring us and use a credit card and buy it direct.
Oh, they can do that.
We're setting up a US dealership very soon.
Now, that's good. That's good because we'll talk about that in a moment, because a lot of the companies, locking people into working with their local distributor and some discontent there with local distributors and people wanting to buy from source. So that's encouraging that people can call you with a credit card, and we will get to the contact details of course at the end. Let's talk about the US dealership though. That's something that's down the line a little bit, or is that something that's imminent?
It's very close.
Oh, okay.
We're talking to Premier Programming, Steve Timmer. I actually use a few of his products.
Right.
And he's taking on Lookout to sell for us in the States.
Right.
And that's going to happen very soon.
Uh-huh. Oh, excellent, excellent. Well, the very best of luck with that. Was there anything about Choice Technology or even Lookout itself that you wanted to talk about? I'm aware you guys offer some training as well.
We do, I think, excellent, I suppose I like to say, plain American, plain English manuals, non-technical manuals, which we have in clear print or in Braille, or on tape or on the disc itself as an audio file.
Right.
And they're quite brief, they're quite short, and they're very straightforward. They're best for beginners, but they're good for you to look up if you have particular things you need to look up, you know, when you use the thing for a while. We think our manuals are very easy to use. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's good. That's good. So it's documentation really that you provide. Do you provide one-on-one training?
Or? Here in the UK, we provide one-to-one training.
Mm-hmm.
We go to people's homes, or they come to us, or in some cases we do it over the phone. They book a couple of hours or an hour on the phone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with speech screen readers particularly, you can work on the phone. You don't need to be actually together. So I suppose that's the most economic way of doing it.
Now, training is notoriously expensive. Have you guys managed to make any breakthroughs in that area?
No, not really. No, we're £300-£350 a day, depending on where people live.
Right.
So we're reasonable, but it's still very expensive for the home user.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, congratulations on bringing a product to market that, while it doesn't do everything, and clearly it is limited in some areas, it is so much more affordable and accessible to those, you know, starting out, those on a budget. I mean, now it's highly possible that somebody could get a second-hand machine and a screen reader for, you know, £500-£600.
Definitely. A new machine and a screen reader for £500-£600.
Which is less than $1,000 US. And 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago, I guess that would have been a fantasy.
And a scanner for another £70, which works with our stuff. And a printer for another £50, which works with our stuff.
Is there any OCR software you'd recommend?
Well, you get a scanner with SexBridge or OmniPage on.
Oh, okay.
They all work well with ours. It makes no difference.
Then. What speech comes with it? I expect that you use the Microsoft speech. Is that?
We use the Microsoft speech, and we also use the RealSpeak Voices range, which gives us 15 languages.
So you support SAPI, do you?
We support SAPI 4 and SAPI 5.
And lastly, any hints about what could be coming in the future, or from next versions of Lookout?
The thing we're working on at present is Lookout with Dragon Preferred.
Oh, wow.
So we're hoping for, you know, a very reasonable, perhaps £300 in the UK here, we can give a home user
dictation
speech input output.
Wow.
They may or may not need training, and they will sometimes need to use the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
But they will be able to dictate and control most things.
Another first for ACB Radio.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It's doing well. It's nearly ready.
Tell us a bit about Choice Technology and where you guys came from. And, you know, obviously you've got this ethos that you want to bring a screen reader to market that is going to be affordable. That's obviously your driving force. Who founded the company? How many people does it employ? Where are you based?
Right,
all that good stuff.
We're absolutely huge corporate. The three of us. There's a professor at UMIST Manchester.
Big multinational there, right?
Yes, multinational. Yeah, that's a passport job up there. Yeah, yeah. Paul Blankhorn is the clever coding person. He programs for us.
Now he's got pedigree, hasn't he? He's
oh,
been
yes.
in the industry for a while.
Oh yes. Paul started Dolphin.
Right.
Yeah. He's got the same crackpot economics as I have. We call ourselves a social enterprise, but we're quite hard-headed as well as high-minded.
Right.
And I'll say this openly. We see the market becoming more saturated for the expensive stuff. We see the future in the world for low-cost stuff. So we're not quite so soft as we might give the impression we are. We see a very good business future for us, and we make a good living out of it already.
Yeah. Especially in countries, maybe
in developing countries.
Yes. We've got 250 users in Poland. That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Really.
We'd like to get very much into the US market. Not everybody's wealthy in the States, are they?
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
That's right.
So we're quite hard-headed about this, but it did start as an ethos. We started our business, Choice Technology, in 92.
Uh-huh.
And for 10 years, we've done really well on government contracts and high-priced training and so on, where the government's mostly paying.
Yeah. So that's essentially you're a training company before.
Yes, I'm an ex-teacher, so it's a training company.
Right.
essentially, in essence, a training company, and the screen readers is something that's come later.
Yes, we just realised there's a need for it, so we developed this together as a threesome.
Paul Blanchard. He's he's pretty much coded this single-handedly then?
He wrote Narrator for Microsoft.
Right.
So we've done this on the back of Narrator.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's good. You know, it's very usable.
Is Paul here today?
Limited. No, he's not. No, he doesn't come to things like this.
I don't blame him.
No, he's very wide.
Narrator's got me out of scrapes one or two times when my big screen reader just crashed on
me. Absolutely.
So it's, you know, it's nice to have a fallback. Sooner or later, we all fall on hard times, and as you keep playing catch up with some of these other guys, you know, it can get pretty expensive.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, and thank you very much. You're doing some marvellous work, and long may it continue.
And we enjoy it.
And any message really to people learning about Lookout and Choice Technology for the first time here on ACB Radio, perhaps people listening in the States?
Well, it's easy to go for the brand. It seems very easy to go for the brand and the top names and spend a lot of money. Many, many people will find what we've got absolutely useful. It'll get them going. There isn't a lot it can't do. Mm-hmm. And they'll be happy and pleased with it. And if they're not, we'll refund. I'd say fair.
Nobody else doing that, I don't think. Complete refund. No. 30 days. It's been a long convention season, really. Of course, at ACB last week, and many of the exhibitors at NFB the week before. And, of course, CSUN kicking the whole thing off in the spring. Thank you very much. And let's get those contact details. Roger, if we can.
Thank you for all that. Our website is www.screenreader.co.uk. Everything's on there. Phone number, it's a UK number I'll have to give you. I probably could do the American number.
I'll do all that.
It's 01733 234441. Email is ask or anything you like at screenreader.co.uk. Don't make it too rude though. The dealer in the States is going to be Premier Programming, Steve Timmer.
Well, that's wonderful, Roger. Thank you very much for your time. And, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to sit down after all of this.
There we go. It's a cup of tea and cake time,
I think it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Or lie-down time.
A nice cup of tea.
Thanks to all the exhibitors for taking time out of their busy schedules to talk to Main Menu. I'm Dave Williams, and until next time, bye for now.